Well, friends, at our church, we've been going through, if you've been following along, a sermon series called Behold Him. And we've been going through lots of different titles that Jesus has had that we don't often think about. And today's title is Jesus, the Man of Sorrows. As we read those gospel readings, or if you were to read the other gospel accounts as well of Jesus' last day, collectively, so much sorrow occurs. The summation of these readings can become quite overwhelming, really. I'm not sure about you, but have you ever had a bad day? I reckon you have. And here with Jesus is a day that is the worst day you could ever imagine. As I was preparing this sermon, I thought of one bad day I had, and it was at Harcourt. I was in year eight. I went to the football, and all my mates were going to watch the football and then go for a party at someone's house. It was one of those good fun year eight parties, or so I thought. Well, anyway, in my rush to get out the door, I had shorts on and basketball boots, and so I wanted jeans on. So rather than take my basketball boots off, as you do, you just try and put your pants on with your shoes on. And what happened as I did that, somehow it stretched the bottom of these pants that they became like flares. I didn't think twice about that. I went to the football, and as I turned up, one of my friends turned and said, "Oh, Belly's got flares. He's a stupid hippie." And then for that whole day, my mates just kept on taunting me and calling me a stupid hippie whenever I said anything. And so this fun day turned into a traumatic day. One that, it actually kept playing over and over day after day through a little bit of high school. Now, my day with the flares really means nothing. But from that day, I realised how being the focus of people's attention in a bad way is not fun. You may have known that in your life when you were the focus of everyone's attention in a bad way. When I read Jesus' story again of what happened to him, it brought my story into perspective. Actually, I didn't have to put up with much. Jesus, the man of sorrows, in his last day, was the focus and target of so much ill will. It wasn't just being taunted. He was betrayed. He was abandoned. He was hurt. He was mocked. He was scorned, crowned with thorns. He was trialed and falsely, wrongly accused and wrongly found guilty. He was laughed at and scourged. He was exposed for all to see. And to make it entirely worse, crucified with the nails through the hands and feet and agonizingly left on that cross. Man of sorrows, behold him. Over the years, I've actually found thinking about Good Friday increasingly hard. As I ponder what happened to Jesus, one that I love, it's been increasingly hard to think through. Years ago, when the Passion of the Christ movie came out, I wonder how many of you saw that. But in seeing that visually, the last night and day of Jesus, it was an overwhelming sight. And again, we'll capture a glimpse of that at the way of the cross tonight, still not quite as powerful as the Passion of the Christ because there's no holds barred in that display. But we see focused in on Jesus, whom we love, all this trauma and sorrow, like a funnel, it all points to him. And everything builds up and builds up until he dies. Now, although Jesus' death is undoubtedly one of the most tragic and intense deaths in human history that has actually ever been recorded, it's actually not the manner of his death that prompted it being written down. It was that he rose again, and that he further explained to his disciples what his death meant. As he expounded and unfolded the scriptures that had long been written and told them what was really going on when he died, the man of sorrows takes on a new level of meaning. As Jesus unfolded what was happening, it was revealed that at a cosmic spiritual level, something else that could not be seen with the human eye was occurring on that cross. It was not just the emotional and physical trauma that was written in the gospel accounts that was occurring at the crucifixion and that was focused on Jesus, but something even more weighty. Something that was even more traumatic for Jesus. I'm about to read from Isaiah 53, which was part of the Old Testament scriptures, or Jesus' Bible that he had. And in it, we get to see what else was being put on Jesus as we look back in the light of Jesus, back to that Isaiah 53. It turns out that on the Man of Sorrows, his suffering was not without purpose, but rather to bring the greatest gift to all of humanity. I wonder, as we read Isaiah 53, if you can spot what Jesus brought for us. Who has believed our message, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? He grew up like before him like a tender shoot and like a root out of dry ground. He had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him, nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by mankind, a man of suffering and familiar with pain. Like one from whom people hide their faces, he was despised, and we held him in low esteem. Surely he took our pain and bore our suffering. Yet we considered him punished by God, stricken and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed. We, all like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own way, but the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. In a remarkable flip, these Isaiah readings outline what Jesus had hinting at his whole ministry. Jesus had said that he would be the Lamb of God. He had said that he would give his life as a ransom for many. He said that greater love has no man than he who lays down his life for his friends. And he also said, as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, So when the Son of Man is lifted up, I will draw all people to myself. What else is focused on Jesus' cross in that cosmic level? He took our pain and bore our suffering, Isaiah puts it. He was pierced for our iniquity, and the punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed. As you hear this story, I wonder if you have come to know what Jesus has done for you. That on that cross, those times when you've turned your back on God, when you've hurt yourself or others, all of those things that cause guilt, fear, or shame have been focused and funneled and brought by God onto Jesus, the man of sorrow. And as they came on him, they were broken. The power of these things that would hold us captive are now gone. Taken away as far as the east is from the west. These verses from Isaiah help us to observe that the trauma that Jesus undertook was not without meaning, but rather brought the greatest gift to light. And in the light of all these verses, this Good Friday, it turns a day of utter despair. And if that's all you had, Jesus dying on the cross and being mocked and tormented with nothing else to do with it, it would be the horriblest story in the world. But because of him taking sin on himself, it actually flips to the greatest, joyfulest day full of hope, because we can be made right with God and each other. We, like sheep, go our own way. And even for sheep who go their own way, God loves them and takes their rebellion and wants them back. So today is a day we encounter peace that comes from Jesus, who took away our iniquity. Today it is our prayer that we would know the peace that comes from Jesus, what he did on that cross. That we would know the grace and forgiveness of God in him. And that as we await Sunday, the resurrection, that we will find renewed joy and hope in this life as we live free and in peace. God be with you, brothers and sisters.